You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The year is almost gone. 2019 has been extraordinary, and throughout the year I've been speaking to investment professionals from Mighton Optimal in Cape Town, and I'm going to wrap up the year with Joanne Bainham from Mighton Optimal because, I don't know, things are threatened to happen. There's been a little bit of a melt-up, but it didn't melt up as much as we expected. In other words, the US stock market. It didn't crash. There were threatening signs, but there was no crash. It's been a very frustrating year from a broadcasting point of view and probably from an investing point of view.
I couldn't argue with that, Lindsay. It's been a very frustrating year. We were worried about recession at the beginning of the year through a call. Yeah. We were worried about central banks making mistakes. And then suddenly they all totally changed their minds. And now it's all about cutting rates again and huge quantitative easing and back to the races. I mean, some of the returns in 2019 have been unbelievable if you've been in developed markets. The returns have been amazing. And then remember, we had the Chinese worries about the yuan weakening going through 7 to the dollar. And suddenly all risks were off again. And then, oh dear, trade wars would have changed the world. And then they didn't. Then they did. Then they didn't. Then they did. I mean, It's been very frustrating. Yeah, I mean, we're back in this again. I've said this to you before, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, Lindsay. Mm. I've said this to you before. I almost feel like Trump is day trading these markets because it's getting ridiculous.
I was thinking exactly the same thing the other day. There are too many different messages coming out from the White House via his Twitter account. And I thought to myself, if you ever want to make money for the next 4 years, just get reelected and you can do it every two or 3 days. It's extraordinary.
It is.
For a short-term trader, he's a dream.
He is, as long as you're on the right side of his trades. Because you'd be stop-lost and getting back in and getting out all of the wrong times. It's remarkable when you think he's negotiating with China. And one day it's, oh, there'll be no deal to 2020. I'm not interested in talking anymore. And the next day it's Reuters or Bloomberg report, a trade deal is imminent.
Exactly. And the S&P now up 11 points. I mean, 11 points, if you gear yourself up, is a fairly decent move over a 24-hour period.
I guess one thing we can say, though, since about August time, there has been a slight shift in leadership. So we are seeing a bit more cyclical stocks coming to the fore, value stocks coming to the fore. Is this another false dawn? Who knows? I think people got very excited about growth rates somewhat improving, if not going very strongly higher, but somewhat improving. So I think that is, you know, nascent recovery at the moment. And that's nothing to do with trade wars in a sense. That's just markets starting to reprice better days ahead. We still have central banks who are highly liquid, so that continues to underpin stock markets from a risk perspective. But yeah, it's very difficult. Let's put it this way. When you're running asset allocation money, not to sit on the fence because you're too scared to go into the markets because what if Trump comes up with something idiotic? And you're too scared to be out of the markets because central banks have got your back. So it's very, very difficult. You know, one of the things just in terms of, you know, portfolio construction that we're looking at the moment, trying to understand these markets, one of the good ideas we've got right now is convertible bonds, because I don't know, I'm sure you're aware, volatility with the VIX is very low at the moment. People don't want protection.
What is it, around 10-11%, something like that?
Yeah, something like that. So nobody wants protection. Everybody wants to be long. Well, people want to be long through calls. So if you want to buy some put protection or buy some volatility protection, you can do it through convertible bonds. So it protects you on the downside, but you still get some equity upside participation. And that's another way of trying to play these markets right now because, you know, it's very, very difficult. So, yes, I totally agree with you. It's hard for a journalist and it's hard for fund managers. But again, you know, if you've been in developed markets, you've made a lot of money this year. So that's hardly a bad thing.
Is it different this time? Everybody says on occasion when a market is elevated or under pressure. Is it different this time? Is the 11-year bull market, which we're almost in now, I mean, on March the 6th or 5th or whatever it is, anyway, in 3 months' time, 3.5 months' time, we will be into an 11-year bull market from where the S&P was at 666 and it's currently at 3,121. Can it carry on? Because it just seems to me that it can, because every time there's some kind of rumble, everyone says, well, no, who cares? There's 60 to 80 billion going into the market from the Fed every day. Carry on.
We saw some interesting analysis recently on sort of the 10, 11-year bull market in the S&P. And when you look at it, it hasn't just been a re-rating story, which liquidity would imply. You've actually had really strong earnings out of S&P companies the last couple of years. So it has been, inverted commas, fundamentally justified. It hasn't just been a quantitative easing story. And the S&P has done far better than other markets.
What do you mean fundamentally justified? Sorry, just before you go. Was this a very glib comment? How do you justify your justification comment?
No, no, what I'm saying is you've had earnings to back up the returns in a number of companies. You've had very strong earnings, actually. So if you take the company earnings versus the share price movement,
five companies.
It hasn't been a... Okay, fair enough. That's a different discussion. But at the overall level, from an earnings perspective, it hasn't been a massive re-rating story. The S&P is not currently on a forward P of 30 or 25. It's in a forward P of 18 or 19, and it was sort of 18 or 19 or 17 a couple of years back. So it isn't much lower, obviously, at 666. But the point is, it hasn't been a massive re-rating story. It's also been earnings-led. So we have seen company earnings. Now, you could argue, has that been distorted by share buybacks? Okay, a totally different story. We've gone to that for hours. But you have had a lot of earnings coming back behind companies. You have not had the same in emerging markets in Europe. And I think for 2020, the very interesting story will be, do we start to see better earnings out of those economies? And do we start seeing a rally in emerging markets in Europe and the US gets left behind? So we don't say the US falls apart. It just other markets outperform it. And, you know, that's a call we've been having for a while. And since about August, that has worked out. Who knows if it continues? But I think it's justifiable to say that the US, you've made a lot of money. Does it mean it's a fall? Not necessarily. But are there better opportunities elsewhere? And that is something that we're arguing at the moment.
Let's look at South Africa now, because I know that your portfolio and your responsibility has shifted not so much from the international markets at Miton Optimal, but also to the local market. I've never ever been so confused about South Africa, and I've been in South Africa for 29, 30 years. I've never been so up in arms about what to do. It's extraordinary. Do you buy? Do you sell? Is it an opportunity? Is it an opportunity to get out or get in? It's been an amazing year.
Well, it's interesting. So I chaired a panel yesterday on people giving their 2020 forecasts for 2020, obviously. And I asked them all, you know, what was their favorite asset class for 2020? And they said bonds. So even after, you know, equities have sort of underperformed the last couple of years in South Africa, they still would rather be buying bonds in South Africa than equities. So to your point, people remain very confused, because when you look at it from a face value, valuations look incredibly appealing in South Africa. The problem is people don't trust the earnings numbers. And to get decent earnings out of South African domestic companies, you need economic growth. And I mean, we saw the recent shocking negative 0.6% contraction out of the economy for the third quarter. Mm. But this country is in real trouble. So the domestic earnings are struggling. And then on top of it, you have the rand is actually very, very strong at the moment, relatively speaking, despite all the woes and tales of horror. The rand's holding up, which is not good for the South African stock market, because the rand hedges struggle. So it's a very difficult market at the moment. But what I can tell you from a bond perspective, if you look from what we're hearing and what we're reading, it's pretty much guaranteed that we're going to have a downgrade in sort of February, March. Yes. Now, you obviously can never guarantee things, but let's say there's a 95% probability of a downgrade. Even with that downgrade, most fixed income managers argue that that's pretty much priced in. Nobody knows exactly what will happen at the time of the downgrade, but it's pretty much priced in. And with inflation rates in South Africa currently running at between 3.5% and 4%, and bond yields north of 8%, you've got some very strong real returns. And in the longer end, you're getting more like 9-10. So you've got some very decent yields in South Africa without taking a huge amount of risk.
Okay,
so the risk you're taking is... Yes?
No, carry on. Just finish your sentence.
No, I'm saying that obviously the risk is the rand blows out. So on that subject, it was interesting today. I don't know if you've seen Saxo's forecast for 2020. And one of the comments they came up with, they see the rand blowing out to 20 to the dollar because we get cut off from world markets because nobody wants to lend money to us anymore. I think that's rather extreme.
And then we go to the IMF and with the begging bowl, which is something that I spoke to Wayne McCurry about yesterday. But it is going to happen eventually. We are going to go to the IMF, but not in the next couple
Lindsay,
of years. Yes.
Lindsay, let me tell you something. I've listened to quite a few economists talk about this. It's extremely unlikely we'll go to the IMF for a bailout. First of all, we don't have a lot of dollar debt. We have a lot of local currency debt, which we can pay through taxes or fiscal or increasing the bond issuance or prescribed assets. I think the South African government will go prescribed assets long before they ask the IMF for help, because the IMF will do things they don't want to do, which is cut staff.
The IMF is the best thing that could ever happen to us. It is the best thing that could ever happen to us. We'll get it. I keep on using this, and I've used it for the last 12 years as a broadcaster. When you lose money on a horse or on a football match or something, you go to your bookmaker and he says, Lindsay, pay and the pain goes away. Just pay it now. Borrow a load of money, and then I can tell you that the Rand will immediately get stuffed to 20 to 25 against the US dollar, but then we'll come back because we will have the money to do things that we need to do. Pay and the pain goes away, South Africa, please.
Okay, I completely agree with your logic. What you're missing here is the ANC won't allow it to happen because it will mean too many job losses.
You mean the political side of things. Oh, I'd forgotten about
that. Yes, forgotten about that. I think if you speak to most people, they say the IMF would be the best thing that ever happened to South Africa because bloated state-owned enterprises would be cut. Okay, which is what needs to happen. We need to have private enterprise being able to compete head-on with government again. But you can't when you've got government running inefficient enterprises, when electricity is not on demand, when water is difficult to come by. These things will improve if the IMF step in. I absolutely believe you're right. It just won't happen. I think it's much more likely they'll be looking at the pension fund assets in South Africa and go the prescribed assets route. So, yes, I think IMF will be great news. I don't see it happening. But yeah, the point is, though, in the short term, on a medium term to short term basis, SA bonds offer you very attractive real returns. And provided you don't think the Rand blows out, that's still a good investment for 2020.
The R186 is currently yielding 8.42%. The R209 is currently yielding 9.9%. If you were sitting in London or Frankfurt or Paris or New York, you would have a look and you say, well, the Rand is now 14.55 against the US dollar, and this is the recent price movement, and I have a very good chance of being able to hedge the Rand against the US dollar and other currencies, and so I can hedge my bets here. What would you do? Because the inflation rate is 3.7%, and it seems to be a no-brainer. 8.42%.
Well, like I said, that's what people are saying, and you can see why they're saying it. You know, we've got to remember why people put money into markets, be they bond markets or equity markets. It's because they want to save money and retire one day, or they do it for speculative purposes. But a lot of people do it because they want to retire. And when people want to retire, they want a real rate. Now, you can get a real rate in South African bonds without taking a massive amount of risk of more than 4%. It's an incredibly attractive opportunity. So I totally agree with that. I mean, just another comment. I'm sure you spoke about it. Has it come out today or yesterday? I don't know what the days are anymore. But the SA Airways being put into business rescue.
Yeah, I've just spoken to Intellidex about that. Yes, I wouldn't fly on SAA at the moment, would you?
No, I wouldn't either. But I think, in a way, this is a very clever move by government because they get somebody else to do their dirty work for them. So you get the courts will appoint somebody to put SA Airways into business rescue. They will start doing the restructuring process, which government was unable to do. I think it's a clever move, and I think I see this quite bullish, actually, for South Africa going forward. We could see some more deals like this, because they're finally saying, we can't fix the problem, let somebody else fix the problem. So, yes, I think that's quite good. We've also got other political stories, but Brexit. So I don't know if you're following that at the moment.
No, thank you.
Sterling at 131, and it looks like Boris is going to get elected next week. As to whether he gets a majority or not, it's very interesting at the moment, but it looks like as an overwhelming majority and over 50%, probably not likely. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes. But at the moment, the market's pricing in a Boris victory for next week. So interesting days ahead. It's not just SA with its political issues. And then you've got Trump. So there's a lot happening.
No, let me tell you something. If I was Boris Johnson, I would go to my team and I would sit down and say, after the NATO summit, which was a two-day affair where Mr. Trump sort of flounced out of it and went back on the Air Force One Boeing 747 that he has because he didn't like the fact that people were laughing at him. What I would say to him is, okay, off you go. And if I was Boris Johnson, I would say, in order to get the majority that you need to get a four-year term in the UK, I would say, let me trounce Donald Trump. The best way to get the majority is to be nasty about Donald Trump. And if you'd done that in the short
term, you're right.
Because the British people hate Donald Trump. So, Boris, please grow up and hate Donald Trump just for a couple of months.
You know what I have found more interesting about this upcoming election, though, and I don't understand British politics enough to really understand.
No one does.
But if they really wanted to leave, why are they voting Lib Dems in? Is it because only 49% wanted to leave I mean, remain, I mean, and 51% wanted to leave. Is that
it's an
why
enigma.
You don't? It's an enigma. I mean, because, you know, by Tories having more votes, they're actually voting more to leave. It was all terribly confusing to me. But yes, at the moment, the sterling is going up and the market's telling you that Boris is going to win next week. So it'll be interesting times ahead.
Yes. The only reason he's going to win is not because of his perspicacity and his cleverness. It's because the opposition is so
awful.
So poor. I mean, look at Jeremy Corbyn.
Yes, I know.
I mean, Jo Swinson is lovely and she wears nice dresses and everything. But I mean, come on. There's no opposition.
No, I know. No, there is no opposition. You know, but then we thought that about Theresa May as well, and that didn't work out so well. So let's just hope this time round he's a little bit more has a bit greater personality than her. So perhaps he does better. Who knows?
Just looking back,
but the world's in a confused place.
Yeah, yes? It is. Just looking back at our conversation, I've been scribbling some notes here, and it says here I've written down clever and South African government, and that came in the same sentence. That's an oxymoron. That's an oxymoron. There's no such thing at the moment.
You're right. But, you know, we grab onto any good news we can. And the fact is, you know, 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, the South African government were agreeing to 13th checks and we're agreeing to backdating salary increases the 1st of April for SA Airways for the guys that striked. And now they're talking about going into business rescue. Mm. I think that's better than it was. We are seeing reforms out of the ANC. It's very, very, very slow. But we are seeing it. You know,
it's been 25 years, Joanne. 25 years.
It has been. No, it has been. And I think when you look at the problem is, you know, you're back to the numbers you were quoting, the R186 and the 2023 or 2030, whatever it's called. 209, thank you. The reality is people are scared to buy our long-dated bonds because of the credit risk here. With debt rising to 80% of GDP, it's very scary from a credit risk perspective. But, you know, in the shorter term, you can take a risk on SA bonds if you're in the belly. So just be careful where you buy your bonds. But yes, I mean, South Africa has to make a lot of changes. Ramaphosa is trying his best, but he's just too slow at the moment. But I think we're all feeling that. And it's almost the end of the year. The South African market, again, has underperformed other world markets. Does it do the same in 2020? I continue to think that from an unconstrained portfolio perspective, and this is not trying to time the next 3 months in the markets, is you want to be long SA bonds and long global equities. And I think that's probably a very clever way to run money. It's very difficult trying to find stocks in the JSC that I think will generate decent earnings.
I arrived in South Africa in 1988 and the Christmas season, the so-called Christmas season, and we were allowed to say Christmas in those days, but now we have to say the...
Season's greetings, I think.
Yeah, the holiday season. Let's call it the
yes.
holiday season.
Happy holidays.
Exactly. It used to start on around about the 18th or the 19th and it would go on until the 11th or 12th of January. Now it starts on the 4th and 5th. I've been trying to get interviews for the last two or three days. I'm sorry. Lindsay, we're on holiday and we'll be back on January the 16th or something like that. People are so fed up at the moment.
I think people are fed up. And, you know, foreigners continue to sell our market. There's not a lot of liquidity in the JSC. It's just been another tough year. And clients are unhappy. IFAs are unhappy. It's tough out there in the trenches. And the point is, when you look at a government to increase growth rates for 2020 going forward, I sat with the chief economist, Joel Mutual, recently, who said, we'll be lucky to get 2.5% GDP. We need to get to 5 or 6% GDP growth rate.
2.5%? Are you joking? Half a percent would be good.
He's talking about not the next year, the next couple of years. So like that will hopefully we'll get there is the point. And you're right. 0.5% is what we're getting. And 2.5% would be like nirvana. But the reality is it's still way too low for this country. And we have a growth problem. We have a massive growth problem in South Africa, and government needs to come up with some good ideas. So it's at the moment, they don't seem to have a lot of them. But as I said, we're grasping at straws here. SA Airways has been put into business rescue. Mm-hmm. I see as quite a positive signal that government is saying enough. And I hope we see more of it.
Yeah. What about the $700 million we have to pay to the staff that are going to be retrenched? 700 million rand. I mean, in the short term, it's going to be terrible. Joanne, thank you for your time this evening and also for your contributions all year. Joanne Bainham is from Might on Optimal in Cape Town. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox.